So yeah, the passage in Revelations 1:5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, that shows his great love in dealing with a tremendous problem that has affected the whole human race, and that's sin. So we could say, well, we'll just get rid of the sin, but God has plans for us. He's not just to focus on the negative. Some people think that Christianity is not doing things. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't go get drunk, you don't commit fornication, you don't do this, you don't do that, and the list goes on and on. But all the things you don't do as a Christian, and that is what makes up their Christianity. But that's not what Christianity is, not what you don't do. Christianity is what you do, right? Christianity is this life with God. Christianity is this incredible kingdom that we enter into. Because the next verse says, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So he washed us from our sins, but he didn't stop there. The literal meaning of this here is that he made us a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. Now, what does it mean when he calls you a priest? Now, the connotation of the word priest that comes to your mind is usually what? The Catholic Church, a priest in the Catholic Church, or a priest in the Anglican Church. So maybe we should go to a store and see if we can buy a lot of robes for you and teach you how to do this, that, and the other thing. Do you think that? Do you think that'll work? You want that, Honora?
No, not at all.
You see, there's something amazing here that comes from the Word of God to help us to understand that God has called every one of you to be priests, but not in the world's way or some hierarchy church structures that, get, like I said, a guy all robed up and everything like that. But he says we're a kingdom of priests. Now, John, the revelation that came here was when he says that he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is that for every Christian? So when it says, and has made us kings and priests, is that for every Christian? Wow. So you're a kingdom of priests. Well, we need to stop and think about what is a priest. What was a priest in the Old Testament? Who were the priests in the Old Testament? Does anybody know who they were?
The intermediary between God and
okay, they were an intermediary to God, okay? They were people who interceded to God, yes?
They could go into the Holy of Holies and really represent God.
How many could go into the Holy of Holies? Only one. And he was what? Well, who was he? He was called the high priest. Does anybody know what tribe were of the priesthood in the Old Testament? The tribe of Levi, right? There were the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. But the tribe of Levi was chosen as the priesthood tribe. And so they were the priests. And in order for the people to be able to have access to God, they needed to go to the priests. And ultimately, they needed to go to the high priest because he was the only one that could go into the presence of God on behalf of all the people with blood, the blood of a lamb, in order for the sins of the people to be recognized as forgiven. So now, the New Testament says, we're all priests. All priests. Every one of you. The New Testament doesn't encourage that there's this whole line of people that are the quote-unquote clergy who are holier and closer to God than everybody else. We're not. It's not true. If we're all priests, then we're all priests. And the priests in the Old Testament offered sacrifices, prayers, praise, worship. And another thing about a priest was that they were dedicated to
the Lord.
They were dedicated to the Lord. The Lord was first, and their main focus in life was to serve the Lord. That was the Levitical priesthood. That was what they were called to do. Their main focus was to serve the Lord. Some of them had different duties. They didn't all do the same thing, but their main focus was to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, because their main focus was to serve the Lord, they were provided for by the other tribes.
Yes.
Because that was their main focus. Now, in the New Testament, it doesn't teach us that we go around, all of us, okay, we're all Christians, now we expect the world to come and give us food and shelter and clothing, we don't have to work. Don't try that. You'll get awful hungry fast. But there is certainly something true about, for the Christian in the New Testament, what is your main focus?
Jesus.
What's that?
Jesus.
Yeah, well, what was the focus in the Old Testament? What did we just say?
Serve.
Their main focus was to what?
Serve.
Serve the Lord. So what then, if you are a priest in the New Testament, what is your main focus?
Serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord. That's your main focus. It isn't your job. It isn't your portfolio. It isn't your hobbies. None of those things are your main focus if you're a priest to the Most High God. Your main focus is to serve the Lord. Now, does that mean you don't work? You mean you don't have recreation? You don't do these other things? No. But it means that the first focus in your life is to serve Jesus Christ. God calls you to that kind of life. He doesn't make any mince around about it, does he? He doesn't, you know, he says it pretty straightforwardly. Unless a man is willing to forsake all that he has, he can what? He cannot be my disciple. Isn't that what he says? He says those things, right? And so it's not a halfway thing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He made you a priest. You didn't make yourself. He actually made you a priest of the Most High God. He made you a servant of the Lord. He made you a one who offers sacrifices to God. Now that might sound strange. So what sacrifices then do you have to offer to God if you're a priest? Is there a sacrifice for sins that you can offer to God?
No.
Why not?
That one is
forgiven.
What's that?
Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Okay. Is there anywhere in the Bible where it says there's only one sacrifice for sins?
In Hebrews,
it says he made one sacrifice for sins forever. Isn't that great? Why is it that he gets to make the one sacrifice for sins and we don't? If we're all priests.
Because he was sinless.
Okay, because we're sinners. Any other reason why?
No, he was sinless.
He made the sacrifice for us.
What's that?
Because
he made the sacrifice for us. That's right. Any other reasons why? You're absolutely right.
Our sacrifice wouldn't be enough.
Ours wouldn't be enough? Absolutely true. But what did we say that Jesus is in the New Testament compared to the priesthood in the Old Testament?
He is the
perfect sacrifice.
What's that?
He's
the high priest. Okay? He is the high priest of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was only one high priest, right? And the rest were priests serving. But the one high priest had the authority and the right and the privilege to walk into that Holy of Holies. If another one of the priests says, hey, well, you know, can't see the high priest around, Aaron's not around right now, I think I'll go in. He would instantly have been struck dead. He had no right to be there. No right at all.
That's what happened to Aaron's two sons.
They offered strange fire, strange sacrifices. Yeah. And they were struck dead by it. Because it wasn't their place. But we have one high priest, Jesus Christ, who offers one sacrifice for sins forever. So not only was he the one high priest, but he also had the one sacrifice. And it wasn't that he dragged some blood of some lamb into the throne room of heaven, because that's where the real Holy of Holies is. It says that that's what he took. He took his own blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven on our behalf. So he offers up himself as the sacrifice. He is the only one that has that right and privilege to be able to do that. But there is a difference. There's a difference between the priesthood of the Old Testament and you and I being priests before God. Because we can go into the Holy of Holies. Why is that? How is it that if only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, how can you go?
He's in us.
Pardon me?
He's in us.
Because he's in us. Did you get that? Because the Spirit of Christ is in us. I didn't tell her that beforehand, by the way.
Sure.
What's that?
You said you're sure.
Oh, now. Even the hint of that would say that my wife is not absolutely brilliant in every way. So, this high priest, Christ, who has gone into the Holy of Holies for us and shed his blood for us, caused something remarkable to happen. And we see it reflected at the cross. What took place at the cross that has to do with the Holy of Holies? There was a curtain, it was 3-4 feet thick, that was in front of the Holy of Holies, and it was barred the way. The only way through that veil was only for the high priest. But God caused, when Christ died, God caused that curtain to rip all the way into from top to bottom. Yeah. Top to bottom signifying it was the very hands of God that tore it open and brought the opening from heaven to earth where it was opened. It didn't come from earth to heaven. It wasn't us that did it. It was God that ripped it open for us. Yeah. Signifying that the way is now open into the very presence of God. And it's open to every believer. Amen. Because the only way you can come into the presence of God is by Jesus Christ. When he said, no man can come to the Father except through me, he wasn't just talking about getting into heaven. He was talking about access now. I access right now into the presence of God is guaranteed to the people of God because God has ripped the veil open. There is a difference. The New Testament has made it different, and the reason why it can be different is because Christ is a mediator of a better covenant, a brand new covenant
on better promises.
Absolutely. With a better sacrifice and a better Savior. And so we have a better hope. And we have a better way than the blood of bulls and goats. It was so limited. They had to stay way out. The common people had to stay way back. They couldn't even get in. But they could only get as far as the brazen altar. And there the priests did their work. And then more priests did work here, more priests there. But all the way into the Holy of Holies. No, you couldn't get very close, couldn't draw near. But now you can go all the way in. Because not only has he ripped the veil open, but if you went into the presence of God without the Spirit of Christ, so to speak, you couldn't go. You couldn't be there. But now, because the Spirit of God lives in me, and he has made me his child, I can come all the way in to the very Holy of Holies because of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. He's made you a priest. And that priest gives you access. The priesthood is for every one of us. The moment someone is saved, instantly they're a priest of the Most High God. Now, what can that else does that mean? Is there any other sacrifices that the Bible speaks of that we offer up as priests? What's that?
Our life is a living sacrifice to God.
Absolutely. Amen. In Romans chapter 12, yeah. Verse 1, yes. I beg of you therefore, brothers. You want to quote it for us?
Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God.
Okay.
This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test what God's will, approve what God's will is. It's good.
Okay. That's perfect will. Thank you. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, which at some point we were challenged to memorize it, and Geraldine took that seriously. I beg of you, Paul says, I beseech you. There's an urgency in his voice. Present your whole body as a living sacrifice to God. Now, it's kind of nice that he didn't say, present your whole body as a dead sacrifice to God. Okay? Because in the Old Testament, what it had, the sacrifice had to die. But in reality, so do we. But not physical death, but death to ourselves. Not my life anymore, Lord. Not my way. Not my thoughts. Not, but your thoughts, Lord. Not my plans, but your plans, God. Lord, I'm presenting my whole being to you. Isn't that what we already said? That was the priest's obligation, was to serve God first. So you're a priest of the Most High God tonight. I don't know if you've ever thought of that. But with that comes incredible privileges and responsibility to present your whole being to him as a living sacrifice. Lord, today my life is yours. Today I present my life to you to do whatever you want with it. Take me where you want to go. Do whatever you want in my heart. So that isn't all a negative thing. It does mean, Lord, keep me from sin. Keep me from going down paths that bring destruction. Lord, when I hear gossip, don't let me repeat it. Don't let me be unkind. Repay evil with good. Lord, there's all kinds of things that we can be doing. But it also means he's the one that's in control of my life now. And I'm his servant. We're servants of the Most High God.
We're not our own.
Where is that found? 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe it is, or chapter 1. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. I think it's chapter 2. Bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. We don't own ourselves anymore. And so the Spirit of the living God comes into us, makes us a priest of the Most High God, and gives us the privilege of offering ourselves, our whole being, to God. He's looking for us to be his servants. Now there's another command that's given in the New Testament that a priest is to be doing, a sacrifice. Can you tell me what that might be?
Sacrifice of praise.
Yes. And where's that found? Does anybody know?
Hebrews.
It's in Hebrews.
Yes, 13.
Chapter 13.
And 15.
Hebrews 13:15. Want to read it for us in order? Therefore,
let us offer through Jesus a continuous sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name.
Okay. Right. Offering continually the sacrifices of praise. Mm-hmm. You don't have to offer sacrifice for sins because
they're gone.
It's done. It's already accomplished. One sacrifice for sins forever. But we do offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we offer up sacrifices of praise. Often when you hear the word sacrifice, you only think of giving something up, don't you? But it's not only giving something up. Sacrifice is offering something up. It may be a giving up of something, but it is coupled with the idea of offering something up to God. So we offer ourselves to God, and we offer our praise to God. Continually praising God. That's your calling. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Well, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God and offer up praise to him. Yes.
Christian music is continual praise.
It can be through music. We can be offering praise to God. It may not be in the times of music. It may be another time. Maybe quietly offering praise to God. It may be offering praise to God just in reading the Word of God and taking a psalm and reading it to the Lord, right? But it does include music, for sure. It's a, music's highest calling is to give, is to honor God with it. No question about that. But continually offering your, yourself to God.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Jesus all the day long.
Yeah, that's right, praising my Savior all the day long. So when you think about this, for example, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the second verse says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So many people are trying to find out, what does God want? What is His will for my life? And they're focusing on, well, does He want me to live there? Does He want me to work there? Does He want me this? And it's not wrong to wonder about those things. But what I say is, if you get the first part right, presenting your whole being as a living sacrifice, making sure that this is what's first in your life, you know, you make the plans about what you want to do with your life, and then you say, well, now, God, I want you to bless my plans. Don't start there. Start, Lord, my life is not mine, it's yours. So you have a plan for my life, and Lord, I'm presenting myself completely to you, no reservation. And it doesn't matter if I'm making more money or less money. That's not the deciding factor. It doesn't matter whether I'm going to be really happy over here or I'm not going to be quite as happy over here. That's not the deciding factor. God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. We're more interested in our happiness than our holiness. So we're not a good judge of that kind of thing, you see. It may be that it's not going to be all rosy. It may be that I'm not going to have wealth, health, and prosperity. Instead, I might be persecuted. Instead, I might end up in prison for my faith in Jesus Christ. Many Christians have faced that, have they not? Many have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. But it's amazing, as you look at the accounts of these people who have been martyred for their faith, the joy that they have, even in the midst of those circumstances, because they know that God is with them. So it isn't the factors that decide whether I'm going to live and what I'm going to do and how, you know, what the rest of my life is going to be is not my decision any longer. It's His. I'm the priest of the Most High God. I've given myself away to Him. Do we make decisions that way? Do we really, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to pray. But are we actually praying from that position? Lord, I give myself completely to You. Not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, whatever You want, not what I want. And Lord, whatever You give for me, whatever path You have for me, that's the best path. Even if it's not a path where it's all hunky-dory. Lord, show me what it is to be a priest of the Most High. Now, we have promises that come with that, don't we? Didn't Jesus said, Peter said, lo, we've left everything to follow You. Didn't Jesus say, no man is forsaken? And He gives a list of everything, right? Right down to family, everything. He says, nobody's forsaken anything that he won't receive 100 times more in this life and eternal life to boot. That's what He said, right? 100 times more. Now that doesn't mean, I'll give God $1 and I'll get back 100. That's not what it means. 100 times more valuable is what we will receive. You will not ever give away to God anything that you will not in the end receive much more in return. Can we trust Him for that?
Yes. Yes.
Can we actually trust Him for that? He's called us to be a kingdom of priests. So we enter into the kingdom of God. But as we enter into the kingdom of God, we become the priests of the Most High God. That's what it says here when it says this passage in Revelation here. He has made us a kingdom of priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, immediately the priesthood kicks in. Got to give Him praise. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made you to be a kingdom of priests. That's your position. That's the calling of God. That's what He raised you up to. And it's not small. Discover your position. Know that you've entered into the kingdom of God, a kingdom that cannot be moved, a kingdom that is unshakable, a kingdom that is already established in this world through Jesus Christ. He said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is in your midst. That's what he said to them. And he said, the way that we're born again is when we're born again, we enter into the kingdom of God. You don't get in the kingdom of God just when you die. Immediately you're in this kingdom. This is a kingdom where Jesus rules. This is a kingdom where he has his sway because he's King Jesus. So when you enter into his kingdom, he's the king, not you, right? But you are a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of servants to the Most High God. Take that position. Live in it. Walk with him. We are given these privileges to serve the Most High God, not to be a slave to sin and to Satan, but to discover the joy of serving Jesus Christ every single day of our lives. That's the place we're called to. I don't know if that excites you, but I think it's pretty awesome. Isn't it? That's where it's at. Don't hold back. You can trust him. Lord, you can have it all. Lord, you can have my future. Lord, you can show me what you want. Lord, I can trust you with that. Lord, this is what I want, but not my will, but your will be done. Lord, this is the way I want things to go. You can tell him that. You can say, Lord, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I would like. Didn't Jesus say, Lord, if you're willing, don't take this cup from me. I mean, take this cup from me. Sorry. Isn't that what he said? If you're willing, Lord, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done, right? So it's okay. It's okay to tell God what you want, but to say, Lord, but not my will. Your will be done. And he's a gracious God. He won't cheat you. He will not cheat you. We can trust him. Any comments or questions?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, we got through another verse.
And you did it with one of my favorite catchphrases of what we believe.
What's that?
Priesthood of believers.
Yes.
We believe in the priesthood. Not every Christian believes in the priesthood of
believers. No, that's true.
We.
You're right, Gary. It's a priesthood of believers. That's what we are. Please don't go and buy some robes and start walking around town waving and blessing. And, huh?
I'm not going to wear one of them collars.
No, okay. Yeah. You know, I never wear a collar, right? I'm not much for that. And I'm not saying, if somebody wants to wear a collar, go ahead. But I don't want to say that I'm a higher priest than you are. You have as much access to God as I do. As much. Well, there's another thing that a priest does, but I will close with this. I think Louise hinted at it from the very beginning.
Mediator?
Sort of. We know there's only one mediator between God and man, right? That's Jesus Christ. There's another word that I would use more than the mediator, because you use that word too, I think, but I think there's a better word than that. What's that? We are disciples, there's no question, followers of Jesus Christ, yes. It sounded like a mediator, but it's a long word, it's intercessor. An intercessor. That is someone who prays on behalf of others. As a priesthood of believers, we have the privilege of praying for one another, don't we?
Yes.
We have the privilege of lifting one another up in prayer. We're bringing one another before the throne of God and asking God to intervene and to bless. That's part of the function of a priest, right? As an intercessor. But not only do we have the privilege of praying for one another, but we also have the privilege of praying for anyone. For anyone. We have the privilege of praying for lost people, for broken people. We have this privilege. What a privilege that is. How wonderful it is to be overwhelmed with compassion for someone and then feel drawn to lift them up before the throne of God. That's not something that I was doing before I was saved. Were you?
No.
We weren't even thinking about them. Not with the kind of compassion that the Spirit of God puts in our heart to lift someone up and to cry out to God on their behalf. What a privilege we have. to offer up prayer as a priest of the Most High God. Don't lose your privileges in a sense. Don't miss them. But live in them. Because it's a great and awesome calling that God has made us. And to think at the in this passage, it's not that we've made ourselves. This isn't, I think I'm going to be a priest. I'll have to go and study for 7 years and then I'll be a priest. You don't make yourself a priest. God has made us. He's made us. Just like that. Just like that. So that the moment that someone is saved, they're just a babe in Christ. Just an infant in Christ. But what can they do? Can they pray? Yes. Can they intercede on behalf of someone else? Absolutely. They can pray and ask God for a blessing upon them. They can pray and see answers to prayer. That's what you can do. Because now you're a priest of the Most High God.
We've been intercessors in our journey this week in Bay St. Lawrence and Bicol.
It's absolutely right. We have been. We have been. Another thing that the priests also did, because there's more, there's always more, they declared the truths of God. They did. They declared the truths of God. They took the truths of God and they declared them. Now, if you're going to think that I'm the only priest in the room, you'll say that's my job. But it's your job. It's not just my job. It's every one of us. If there's the priesthood of all believers, then we're all to declare the wonderful works of God. You notice that this was my last verse for you. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's the kingdom of priests. You see that? A kingdom of priests. A holy nation. His own special people. Boy, that's pretty nice, eh? That's like, whoa. He's not sparing it here, is he? So that you may proclaim the praises. That's what I said. We're not only are we interceding, but we're also proclaiming the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now we've obtained mercy. That's you and me. Lord, I pray tonight that we would, Lord, step into the calling. You've already made us priests, Lord. We don't have to try and be them. But we can come to you and say, Lord, here we are. We want to fulfill the roles that you've given us as priests of the Most High God. We pray, Father, that we would. And we ask you, O God, stir our hearts in a fresh way. And Father, in every decision in life, may we take it to the Lord in prayer. And say, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.